My mom, can y'all hear me? Am I too loud? Okay, this is the first time I've ever used one of these, so y'all gonna have to bear with me. The singing has been amazing. If heaven is this times 10, I can't even wait to be there. Before we get started tonight, if y'all would, let's bow and go to the Father in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the love that you give us and the guidance you give us every single day, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son to this earth, Lord, to teach us how to live and how to show that love, Lord. And we ask you, help us to do that. Help us to stand firm, Lord. Help us to take this series that we've been going through this semester, Lord, and to apply it to our lives, Lord, and truly live it out and change this world, Lord. Lord, in the times that we've got going on right now with the election and such, our country is more divided than it has been in a long time. Lord, help us to realize that this earth is not our home. It's just a place that we're temporarily in to do your work, Lord, and to serve you. And help us to wake up every day with that renewal of mind, Lord. Be with us now as we get ready to dive into your word and think about some things that we could change in our lives, and help us to open up our hearts to that. And if we need to, help us to change it. And Lord, we can always do better, and help us to realize that as well. Forgive us where we fail you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I want to start out by saying that my name is Michael Yates. I am a 24-year-old Freed Hardeman student. So I'm still traditional, but not traditional. I'm in my sixth year, so this is my third senior year. Not many people get to say that. I don't proudly say it, but I do at the same time. I am a sixth-year student not because I failed a bunch of classes or because I couldn't make up my mind. I was in my last semester of my first senior year, and I did not get into physician's assistant school, so I went and applied for the nursing program, enrolled in it, so now I'm a biology major and a nursing major, and I've definitely paid for that. But I am also the youth minister at 4th Street Church of Christ in Selmer, so that has been a big change in my life as well. I was not looking to get into ministry. Ministry found me. God works in mysterious ways, but it always ends up being a blessing. I love to play sports. I love to get outside. I love sweating. I don't know what it is, so I love working out. I love hanging out with my youth group. I know I have to say that, but I don't have to say it because I really do love hanging out with them. They encourage me and make sure that I stay intact. I love taking on this crazy, super busy life that I live in with my wife. We've been together about 6.5 years now. We've been married a little over a year and 3 months. She is truly my other half and my best friend. And for those of y'all that are married, I'll look up to y'all. And for those of y'all who are planning on getting married, it's worth the wait. It really is. So I want to thank Michael Thomas tonight for helping lead prayer. I love listening to Michael Thomas lead prayer because it's so genuine. And it encourages me. Cody, my brother-in-law, I want to thank him for helping lead singing. He does a great job at that. Davis Murray, I've been in Phi Kappa with him. He's a great guy. His girlfriend is a great person as well. I look up to them as a couple, and I'm glad that they're here. I want to thank Austin for asking me to speak tonight. I'm glad that I was able to do that and to be here with y'all. I want to thank the eldership here at Henderson for the opportunity as well to speak. Ultimately, I want to thank Freed Hardeman for helping me to become the Christian that I am and helping me to grow in my knowledge and to be able to stand more firm. So tonight, we're talking about standing firm in good works. I haven't been here for any of the lessons, but standing firm is something that is hard to do as a Christian. Especially in the world that we're living in. The world that we are living in is definitely not made for Christians and is definitely not catering to the Christians. If anything, we're fixing to come upon times where the Christian is going to face more persecution. So standing firm in good works. The theme verse that I was given was 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 59, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. This has already been read, but I'm going to read back over it again. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's really easy to read this verse and be like, yeah, I am that. I do that. You know, I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm here at church tonight, right? It's easy to think that. As a youth minister, I often find myself thinking, I'm doing great. I'm, you know, helping kids establish a relationship with God. I'm helping these families to grow closer to each other. So that sometimes is a point where I struggle. That's something that it's something that I need to keep at the front of my mind to not get stagnant or to not think that I can work on something. So if you are at that point as well, I encourage you to really think about this verse and ask yourself, do we really understand what this verse means? Do we really understand what it is asking of us? And do we really understand what it's like or what it would look like to truly live this verse out? So before we get into the meat of the lesson, let's think about some things first. I know that it is very easy to get caught up in the schedules that we have in our lives. Me personally, my day is crazy. I'll just say that. There are mornings I get up at 5 o'clock to get ready for school. We have a dog. And I don't know if any of y'all have dogs, but it's about like having a child, I would guess, except for not really. he lets you know when he's hungry. He lets you know when he has to pee or whenever he has to go out. He needs attention all the time. He requires a lot of my time. So we've got him in our schedule. So we wake up at 5 o'clock. We get ready for school. Have to let him out, feed him, and play with him because he's going to be in his kennel because we have to go to school. We go to school, we're at school until, say, like 4 o'clock, and then if it's a church night, we have church. If it's clinicals, you know, we don't know really when we're getting out. We have a schedule, but not really. And then you have youth group events, you have conferences to go to, you have CYC, you know, big youth events and stuff like that. So if anyone understands the schedule thing, it's me. I live by a schedule. I'm not a type A person. My wife is. So I've become a type A person, although she'd probably argue against that. She keeps me in line. But for you adults, y'all know how schedules are. If you have kids, they you know, run your life. They run your schedule. For students of Freed, you have your class. You know, then you, after you get out of your morning class, if you have morning classes, then you go to chapel. You have to do your lunch, and then you do class, more class, and then your last class. And after you get out of your last class, then you're like, oh, I'm done with this day. So you go back to your room, you take a nap. After your nap, you're like, you know, I have homework, but I'm gonna go get some supper because Gano only gives you like 36 minutes to eat supper. And then after you get done with supper, then you think to yourself, okay, you know, I have like 3 subjects I have to do homework in. So you go and do your homework. Not really. But then after that, you're like, oh, I have an intramural game to go to. We have a club meeting. We have a devotional, which is important. You don't need to miss your devotional. Then you have hanging out with friends and stuff like that. And then by the time you get done with that, you're like, oh, I need to go to bed. But then you end up staying up to like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you sleep or take a nap. And then you wake up the next day and do it all over again. So college is super busy. Our lives are busy. We're stressed out, we're overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and then that's just here for the college students, right? You have families back home that you have to work in there as well. You have other friends and stuff like that. We no longer have time for anything. We're just getting through and getting by, and that is a temptation. That's you know, just doing what you have to do to get through. So I'm not sitting up here, I'm not standing up here preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself, if anything, because like I said, I'm a 6-year student that is in nursing school and is a youth minister. So this lesson is just as much for me as it is for you. I often grow tired of my schedule. I find myself in my sixth year not even wanting to finish it. Waking up in the morning to go to class is something I don't really want to do. Waking up to go to clinicals. I love being in the clinical setting, but it's not really something I want to do. I just want to be done. I want to have a job. I want to be an adult in an adult life. I say that now, but I probably won't once I get there. I know y'all adults are laughing. So I know if I'm growing tired, then y'all have to be growing tired. You're ready for people to start taking you seriously. You're ready to start living your own lives. But something that we must realize is that God has put us in this place and in this time for a reason. And we need to realize that there's so much more to offer than just our own schedules. Going to class, doing club stuff, going and napping on the couch. There's so much more than that to be done here in the town of Henderson. We have opportunities and they're huge. And our mission is right here in Henderson. If you don't want to get out of Henderson, there's a big enough mission here. Just to throw a stat out there for you, in McNary County, which is just down the road, that's the county that Selmer is in. I just got there doing a community health assessment of the county of McNary. And in the last assessment or the last census, over half of the county did not believe in God or a higher power. If that is not a mission right in your back door, then I don't know what is. And that's not going to get any better. As the years go on and as time passes, people will start believing in God less and less. So if you don't get anything out of this lesson, I want you to understand that each and every one of you in this room is needed. God needs you to do his work. And if you just come in here, hear a lesson, and think to yourself, that was really good. I should probably change some things I'm doing. Or I already do enough. You can always do more for the Lord. So if you get anything from this lesson, get that you are needed. Your talents are needed. Your passion for God is needed. Your abilities are needed. And starting in this little town is the best place to start, if anywhere. Often we think that everyone at Freed is a Christian just because it's a private Christian college. This is something that I struggle with. Whenever I was fixing to get ready to come to Freed, I was about 2 weeks out from coming to Freed my freshman year. And I put on Christ and baptism. I decided that I was tired of living lost. So 2 weeks before I came to Freed, I became a Christian. And, I didn't really think about that. I was just like, okay, I'm becoming a Christian. I'm going to a private Christian college, and everyone there is going to be a Christian. Life's going to be dandy. It's going to be awesome. Something I didn't really think about was just because they go to Freed doesn't mean they're a Christian. I realized this my first senior year, so this is my fourth year of college. Whenever I was at 4th Street one night on a Wednesday night, the invitation was offered, and one of my friends, who was a girl that was in Phi Kappa with me, she came forward and wanted to be baptized. This is a girl that I was in the same club with, I was a good friend with, and went to church with her. We did church activities together, club activities together. I knew this girl pretty good, and she was like, hey, I want to be a Christian. I was like, what? I've known you for 4 years, and you've been a Christian. You've been active. You've done this. You've done that. You weren't lost. There's no way that was possible, but it was. And the thing was, I had never even thought about asking because I just assumed. And I don't know. Right then, that just kind of reality just smacked me in the face that night. I was just like, what am I doing? I'm just coming here. I'm making sure that I'm learning more about God's word and stuff. But am I truly making a difference? Am I truly standing firm and working in God's mission? You are needed. I am needed. We're all needed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about being steadfast, immovable, and abounding. Steadfast. Mr. Webster in the dictionary says that being steadfast is being very devoted and not changing. Being a Christian is not a weekday job. It's not an 8 to 5 job. It's not something you check in and check out of. It's not a Sunday ritual. It's not a Wednesday night hangout. It's not a chapel service. It's not a prayer before a meal. It's not Okay, I'm on the clock, I'm off the clock. It's not that. And oftentimes, whenever we're trying to fit Christianity and our schedules together, that kind of happens. And I'm just as guilty of that as anyone is. What we need to realize is that we don't go to church, we are church. We just had a retreat with our youth group, and we combined it with Foot Streets and Antioch's. So I was with Bishop Darby and Mason Cawthorn, and something we got to talking about was how we were having trouble sometimes getting our kids to really step up and lead. You know, they were Christians, but they were just kind of, you know, they were settled in that. They would come, they'd sit in the pew, and you know, that was it. So getting them to lead in service, or getting them to ask their friend to come to service or to come to class or something, was hard to do. And what we wanted them to understand is, I'm not a person that goes to church, okay? I'm not a person that goes to church. I am church. And that was what we wanted to get across to them. I don't go to church. I am church. So if we understand that and we really live that out, we can make an impact that the devil can't even make a dent in. You don't go to church. You are church. So what are we doing to be the church in our daily life? What are we doing to be the church in our daily life? We need to know what and who we are devoted to, and that is going to be worth all the time and all the effort that we put into it. Be steadfast because of your love. Be steadfast because of your passion. Be steadfast because you want to be Jesus in this world. Be steadfast because it's your purpose as a Christian. If I've learned anything as a youth minister, is that purpose is everything. Purpose is everything. You can go on as many retreats as you want to. You can have as many hump day hangouts. That's what I call our Wednesday night hangouts. You can do as many Christmas parties, fifth quarters, whatever you want to do. You can go to church as much as you want to. But if you don't truly know what your purpose is and truly live out your purpose in this world, and that's to serve God and to show God to everyone that you are in contact with, now, are we really understanding what being a Christian is? Are we really living the life that we need to as a Christian? So what is your goal as a Christian? Do you understand fully what being a Christian is? It's to be, teach, and live out the life of Jesus in this world. So be devoted, be steadfast. The next one is immovable. Mr. Webster says that immovable is to firmly be fixed in a place. So what does it mean to be immovable in our faith? It means that when you make a bad grade, when your parents divorce after 25 years of being married to each other, when your teacher gets cancer, when your best friend takes their life, when your preacher takes a job somewhere else, that your faith does not fail because of stuff like that. This is not our home. This is merely a resting place until we get to our home. So are you immovable in times like that? Know where you are in your faith and decide where you are and what you're going to do about it. If you know your faith isn't good, you know you're not where you could be, do something about it. If you're failing the class, you don't just be like, you know what, I'm going to go hang out in my dorm. Well, you could do that, but you're not just going to go back and hang out in your dorm and not do anything about it. If you have 3 house payments that you're behind on, you're not just going to sit back and not pay them. If you know something is not right in your faith, you know that you could be better and you could be stronger and that you could do more, do something about it. Get up and move. Don't just sit there. Do something about it. So whenever I say that you need to know God, actually know Him, talk to Him, pray to Him, look in His Word. We can talk to God and God talks to us in His Word. Know God. That will help you to become immovable in your faith. So, what are you and your spiritual life rooted in? Is it just a Sunday morning worship? Is it just a Wednesday night devotional? Or is it laying in bed, choosing not to learn more about your father? I've seen families rooted in that kind of life and in that kind of faith. And trust me, I know from experience that if you are rooted in that kind of faith, and what will happen is when that preacher leaves, the people leave. That's something that we're struggling with right now at 4th Street. What is your faith rooted in? So please read and pray. No person in this world can put your roots firm in the faith. Only you can. Be firm, be strong, and be immovable. Abounding. Mr. Webster says that to be abounding is to have great quantity. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, as Davis read, this is the parable of the barren fig tree. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of this vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. If not, after that, you can cut it down. Be fruitful and let your works be great." Great works don't have to be preaching. It doesn't have to be leading a prayer, leading song. It doesn't have to be teaching a Bible class. It doesn't have to be all that. Just because it is not a public work does not mean that it cannot be a good work or a great work. Some examples of great works are often done where no one can see them being done. Some of the most beneficial work that I've had other people do for me is just talking to me, being there whenever I need them, whenever life gets rough, writing a letter, making a cell phone call, and among many other things, just showing that you care. Just showing you care can be the biggest work that anyone could do. That is not saying that if you have a talent, not to use it, such as leading singing or preaching or something like that. But we shouldn't just sit back and tell ourselves, "Well, that person does that, so I'm not going to worry about it." Never assume that a work is being done. Always check and do it yourself. Let's remember what our reward will be if we stand firm in the Lord and doing His good works. Even when life is busy, be steadfast. Whenever life gets tough, be immovable by your faith. Whenever you're feeling inadequate or useless in the church, do as Jesus did and abound in great works. I was sick, I think it was my junior year. Yeah, my junior year, so it had been my third year of college. And I went to the AV library and checked out all the Rocky Balboa movies and watched them in one day. It was the best sick day I've ever had. But I learned to love the movies. And one of the movies, it's one of the last movies, Rocky and his son are out on the street and they're talking. And his son is so mad at him because he feels like he's living in his dad's shadow. He feels like he'll never be enough. He feels like he doesn't matter in this world. And then this is what Rocky says, and I think it's so powerful. And watching them, I love movies. I'd rather watch a movie than read. But in the movie, he says this: "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get it and keep moving forward. How much can you take and keep moving forward? That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get it. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not point fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or nobody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that." I'm not saying that we can go out and earn heaven, because you cannot earn heaven. We can never earn heaven with all the good works that we could do in this world. But Jesus thought that we were worth coming and giving his life to save our lives. So why wouldn't we give our lives in service to him? I beg you this evening to stand firm in him and to never give up. No matter how busy your life gets, no matter how tough your life gets, no matter how devalued you may feel, you have value, you have worth, and there is something that you can do to glorify God. I know he loves you, and if there is anything that I or anyone in this room can do to help you get to where you need to be spiritually, to get closer to God, don't wait. Don't put it off. Make the decision now, whether it's publicly or whether it is in your own heart, make the decision that you're going to do something. Make the decision that you're going to change. Make the decision that you're going to make yourself better. Stand firm in good works. Your good work can start right now. It doesn't have to wait until you wake up in the morning. It doesn't have to wait until the next church service. It can start right now. And I encourage you, if there's anything you need to change before you go to sleep tonight, do it. Because you may not wake up in the morning. That is not a promise that we are given. So do all that you can right now to make the change in your life to be the best you can for Him. Because He gave His best for us. If there's anything you need, I beg that you come now as we stand and as we sing.